are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, November the 27th, and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. That's your assignment for these next couple days during Thanksgiving. Talk about the family, get together, talk football, talk about the latest Lions collapse, what you do, they should fire the coach and fire the front office and get more Martha to sell the team, maybe argue about politics, but slip in also that you should check out the Locked On Pistons podcast as well. No episode tomorrow, as you might imagine. Also, Friday we'll come out with something. Today, sorry for not having it up first thing in the morning. Came home after Lions practice and was passed out in bed. I put on the 8-man finals for the high school football. You know, I love watching the high school football. Had the 8-man up from the Thumb Dome. Had that on Fox Sports Detroit. And unfortunately, Cologne against Sutton's Bay put me to bed. So I was out for like 9 hours after that and didn't wake up till early this morning. So apologies for that, but we're getting this episode out as soon as we possibly can. Today we're going to talk about the Charlotte Hornets, the next two games, Monday and Friday. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place this morning. Tonight, Wednesday, and also Friday back in Detroit against the Charlotte Hornets. We'll talk about what to expect from those guys. Also going to address some of my thoughts on the DeMar DeRozan and the Spurs rumors. You know I got thoughts on that. We're also going to hit the Google voicemail line. For one, I'll pass along one thing the Pistons fans should be thankful for. We're also going to let you know about the Black Friday-themed ticket special that the Pistons have right now as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But the Pistons have the back-to-back with Charlotte starting tonight in the Queen City with a 7 o'clock game. Pistons actually a half game ahead of Charlotte in the standings. The Hornets are 6-12, Pistons at 6-11. Pistons only a half game behind Orlando for the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference, a half game out of the playoffs. Unreal right now. But not only is this the time to get into the playoffs for the Pistons, given the soft next four games, the potential for a five-game winning streak right in front of us right now, the Pistons should not only get into the playoffs, but they should put a little separation between them and the other team's going for the eighth seed, because as we know, a tough schedule beckons right after this 4-5-game stretch, and then even more so into 2020. It's not pretty, so the Pistons need to get some cushion for the pushing going. And Charlotte, a chance to do that tonight, a chance to creep back into the playoffs, and then start putting that separation between the Pistons and some of these other sad sack teams as well. Some good news possibly coming for the Pistons tonight. Check that 1:30 report out from me on Twitter and maybe even the 5:30 report as well. But as we speak, from the 8:30 report on Tuesday, Tony Snell upgraded to questionable with his hip injury. He could be back tonight. We'll see if that actually happens. For Charlotte, Cody Zeller and Malik Monk are probable. So those guys might be either out or possibly a little bit ailed tonight as well, two of their top players. So keep an eye out for that as your Wednesday moves along. The Hornets, as we know, painfully here in Pistons land, have a 7-game win streak against your Detroit Pistons. They have won 7 of the 8 games against Detroit in the Matt Shook Locked On Pistons era, which of course is a very important benchmark for how to monitor all things Pistons. The Pistons won the first game of the season 2 years ago, the very first game of the year for both teams at Little Caesars Arena, the very first game of Little Caesars Arena, actually, if I recall correctly, 2 years ago when Eminem was there courtside with Mason, and the first game for Malik Monk's career, the first game of Luke Kennard's career there, and they got it done. The Pistons won that game 2 years ago. Am I a year off on that? That was the first game of Little Caesars Arena, right? 2 years ago, two full seasons, and now here's where we're at. So yeah, I think I'm right there. I'll think about it in the break and possibly edit this if I'm a year away. But yeah, Malik Monk and Luke Kennard's first game in the league. Pistons took care of business there. But like I said, since then, it's been all Hornets. It's a real thing right now. The Pistons got to go beat them, a real thing that they have to battle through. The Hornets have lost five games in a row right now. The Pistons have an opportunity to beat these guys really big. The Hornets have lost 9 of their last 11 games. In that stretch, the only wins coming against the Detroit Pistons and the New York Knicks. So a couple individuals on this team coming alive, but this is not a group good group collectively. This is a team that probably watched Anthony Edwards do work against Michigan State in a loss in Maui on Tuesday and thought, that guy looks pretty good on our roster, the really good wing player there from the Georgia Bulldogs that might just be the first pick of the draft, certainly one of the top five guys, as that will all shake out here in these next few months. But Miles Bridges from Flint Town, former Michigan State star, he had 31 in a loss the other day, coming alive with the opportunity of playing for a bad team in the Charlotte Hornets. And another guy who's coming alive right now is Terry Rozier, who we knew would be putting up some numbers. He's averaging 21 points per game in his last 4 for Charlotte, 19.3 points per game in his last 10. That's a bit of a Bruce challenge to me. Obviously, Terry Rozier is not in the category of a Trae Young or any of the top lead guards in the league. But relative to his crap teammates, relative to what also is on the Charlotte Hornets roster, Terry Rozier is in that group as far as importance to his team. So Bruce Brown's got to step up and take care of business against Terry Rozier in this one. The leading scorer for the Hornets right now is not Terry Rozier, is not Miles Bridges, is not Malik Monk, is not Cody Zeller. It is Devontae Graham, the second-year guy out of Kansas. Devontae's also getting 7 assists per game right now, in addition to his 19 points. He's the starting point guard right now. We talked about him with Nick Carboni. He caught my eye earlier this season as well. A former Kansas teammate, Tisfi Mikhailiuk, with the Jayhawks. And I see right now, I have not read it yet, but James Edwards III of The Athletic writing about Tisfi Mikhailiuk and Markieff Morris, another Kansas guy, trying to light a fire under him, trying to get things going for Tisfi's career on TheAthletic.com. I will check that out. But a lot of Kansas ties in this one. 3 Jayhawks out there. You know that Michael Jordan-led team is going to have all sorts of blue-chip college program players on there. That's kind of what we feel like he does in March, is just watch those games in March, maybe even February, and decide who's going to draft on there. It's like a college basketball all-star team, the Charlotte Hornets. And the Pistons should be able to handle business. They are 4-point favorites on the road. If you can believe that, that'll tell you all you need to know about the Charlotte Hornets going into tonight's game in the Queen City. We'll see if the Pistons can get it done. But up next, we're going to talk about the DeMar DeRozan trade rumors. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, attention, past, present, and future MyBookie players. For this week only, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game, and what a game it should be. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats. You've got some extra holiday dough. If you lose, congrats to you as well. MyBookie is going to give you all your cash back. A no-brainer. You literally can't lose. No risk, all gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-team customer. MyBookie welcomes all to come play, so quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting a sports bet, but you have a lot of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process. And the best part is, if you join now, you still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to mybookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll, and that's on top of that risk-free Bears and Lions bet. Let me repeat, that's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for this week only. So if you are a true football fan and you want something to pay attention to while that Bears and Lions dreadful slugfest, rockfest continues, you don't want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply cannot lose. Make sure you do your part to support the Detroit Lions this football season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie, promo code LOCKEDONNBA. You play, you win, you get paid.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we're going to hit the Google voicemail line, talk about what Pistons fans should be thankful for, and also pass along the latest details of a ticket package the Pistons are trying to get you to come down to Little Caesars Arena for. But I want to talk about DeMar DeRozan a little bit. The rumors are flying around, and the San Antonio Spurs are coming to town on Sunday afternoon for a 5 o'clock matinee. So kind of expect this stuff, these rumors, all these articles on blogs, all these podcasts talking about it. Expect that to kind of ramp up over the weekend some more with DeRozan actually coming to Detroit. The Spurs are 6-12, long losing streak recently, a little bit of a shock to the system to see the standings and see the Spurs so far down there. DeMar, the defense has been extra bad lately. He cleared out his Instagram feed, which is weird there. Always on Instagram watch when some of these things happen. DeMar DeRozan is owed $27 million in each of the next two seasons. That second season being a player option for next year, but we can imagine that the market won't be so good for a DeMar DeRozan this next offseason, especially with a lot of teams not having a lot of cap room. So unless he wants to decline that and go out in the open market and seek a longer-term, shorter average annual value or smaller average annual value, which I would not imagine that he's going to do because he's not an old player. So I would imagine he opts into that $27 million and then becomes a free agent the next year and hoping to become maybe the second or third or fourth option for a team that strikes out on some of the big-time free agents in the summer of 2021. So to me, but in case you know, maybe as a team who wants to trade for him and keep him around for the next year and see that player option as maybe a bit of a negative, that maybe he could opt in to get the trade to work, to get the trade to finalize there. So we know that DeMar DeRozan is bad defensively. I scream about defense all the time here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. We also know that he can't shoot threes. In the modern NBA, you need to knock down three-pointers as a team. And we also know that he's close to Dwayne Casey. That could help him kind of trying to rejuvenate his career a little bit, playing for a friendly face in Dwayne Casey. So what do I think? Well, in the modern NBA coverage with the landscape of the podcast and the blogosphere, I know that what you should do in terms of getting listeners is to always have a hot take about this, right? You're supposed to say, under no circumstance should the Pistons trade for DeMar DeRozan? Or you should say, here's why the Pistons should definitely trade for DeMar DeRozan. But here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, I like to think that we have a little bit more nuance about these kind of things, and certainly it's not going to be a headline that grabs your attention. But I say, sure, you should entertain the idea of possibly bringing DeMar DeRozan along to the Detroit Pistons. Again, this is a very good player. This is a multiple-time All-Star. This is someone who led the Toronto Raptors to a resurgence of their franchise under Dwayne Casey. And this is a guy who's still playing very well as a member of the San Antonio Spurs right now up until the 6-12 start to this season. So, yes, you want a player like DeMar DeRozan on your roster, all things being equal, as opposed to not having a player like DeMar DeRozan on your roster. The three-point issue, that's a thing, of course. The defensive issue, that's a thing, of course. But we do know that we watch this Pistons team night in and night out, and I don't see enough offensive production from the wings to justify not considering bringing DeMar DeRozan along to this team. So here's kind of how I characterize this thing. I don't think you give up major forward-thinking assets for DeMar DeRozan. Sekou Doumbouya is off the table. Luke Kennard is off the table. And I'm on the no Bruce Brown campaign as well. That's just me. Certainly there are scenarios where you could unload Bruce Brown to get a guy like DeMar DeRozan. Although, like I said, my value on Bruce Brown's trade, my take on Bruce Brown's trade value is probably a little bit higher than maybe your average Pistons fan at this point. Now, is Sekou Doumbouya and Luke Kennard a pretty much non-starter? Do you say absolutely not completely for DeMar DeRozan? No. I mean, I would say that those guys being included, or either one of those guys being included in the trade discussion, balances the scales in terms of you would need the Spurs to drop in a little bit more to make it work. So, like I said, if the Spurs say, yeah, we will make a trade for DeMar DeRozan with you, but Luke Kennard has to be included, or Sekou Doumbouya has to be included, I'm not hanging up the phone. I'm just saying, okay, but as it stands right now, DeMar for Luke Kennard, we're going to need something to sweeten the pot on our side. So you're going to want to be throwing picks towards us. I read a story on Piston Powered, the great blog that those guys do, that said, in addition to no Sekou or Luke or Bruce, they're saying no Langston Galloway and no Tony Snell being included in the deal. I'm going to disagree with that and say that despite the fact that those guys are important to the Pistons right now and knocking down three-pointers, which is a good thing in today's modern NBA, I would include both those guys. I don't care. I mean, I would package them together. I just don't think that Langston Galloway at $7 million on an expiring deal, although that's nice to have expiring, I don't think that Langston Galloway, just because he's starting off hot this season, has so much trade value that you wouldn't bring all-star DeMar DeRozan over to the fold. Same thing with Tony Snell. We appreciate what Tony Snell is doing early for this team right now, and we appreciate the fact that he's the best small forward on this roster right now. But I'm looking at he's probably the worst starting small forward in the NBA, and that's no knock on him. Being a starting small forward in the NBA is not a small thing. But let's not get carried away about Tony Snell and his value across the NBA right now. Like I said, I would package Langston and Tony Snell together, let alone not touching either of them for this deal. And I took a look on the trade machine. You know, we know that DeMar DeRozan has that big number, and the Pistons being above the cap can't make a lot of moves unless their salaries either match up or are very, very close to each other. So Langston Galloway and Tony Snell for DeMar DeRozan does not work. But guess what does? Throw Thon Maker in there. You got it, right? Let's bring the whipping boy in there, get rid of our problem, and have Thon Maker included. So a 3-for-1 deal, that works with the trade machine. Certainly I would do that deal with Thon Maker becoming a restricted free agent that certainly will be an unrestricted free agent when the team probably renounces his rights. And I'm not saying Thon's out of the league for sure. I'm just saying that at that number, he's not going to get any offer sheets, and the Pistons will probably whoever owns him at the end of the season will renounce those rights. He'll become unrestricted and probably sign, I'm guessing, at a league minimum, something similar to what happened to Stanley Johnson after this year. Now, of course, do I think that Langston Galloway, Tony Snell, and Thon Maker is a package that gets the deal done? No, I don't think it does. I think San Antonio's obviously going to want more positive assets than that, or any positive assets, I guess, in this deal when they're trading an all-star. So that's where we have a problem. So now we're at kind of an impasse here. I don't want to include assets like Sekou, Luke, and even Bruce, or first-round picks going forward. They don't want the poo-poo platter of Langston Galloway, Tony Snell, and Thon Maker. So would I take that initial package and consider dumping a heavily protected first-round pick into there that might turn into a second-round pick down the road? Sure, I would. I mean, this is where you need to catch front offices at a weakness, right? A team like the San Antonio Spurs, and we don't know for sure that they want to dump DeMar DeRozan, but it sounds like the culture's bad right now, and they're a team that's huge on their culture. It sounds like they might be a team that you want to take advantage of. And there are teams and front offices around the league who might look at the defense and might look at the lack of three-point shooting for DeMar DeRozan and be totally out on him. This is a chance to take advantage of a desperate team. This is a chance to take – and again, the San Antonio Spurs are a smart roster and front office. Obviously, they're the ones that traded for DeMar DeRozan, so obviously they have some value for him. They gave up Kawhi Leonard for him. I know they didn't have a choice in some respects because of what was going on with the Kawhi Leonard situation in San Antonio. So obviously it wasn't a one-for-one type of situation, but this is where a smart front office would come in and take advantage of a team that's got some situations outside of their control and to see the value in a very good NBA player like DeMar DeRozan, who has some blemishes and some weaknesses, no doubt about it, isn't a player that you'd want to highly covet on the trade market. But yeah, we'll take your scraps. And this is a situation where the Pistons might have some cap room coming available. Josh Smith in the next couple years, maybe Andre Drummond being gone, Reggie Jackson, obviously that big number. So you can swallow that $27 million that you not only owe DeMar DeRozan this year, but also next year. So this is what some smart front offices do. This helps the Pistons become more of an offensive team going forward. Obviously, you'd need to build in your roster and figure out how to fix the defense without DeMar DeRozan. I like when players get given up on by teams, like this would be viewed as by DeMar DeRozan in San Antonio, get a little fire under his butt, get a little chip on his shoulder going forward. I like DeMar DeRozan, a motivated DeMar DeRozan kind of going forward. Again, not the ideal NBA player for the modern NBA, not ideal in what I view as a defensive team and what should be a defensive team coming forward. But yeah, I would take a chance if we're talking about taking scraps, if we're talking about taking bad money off our deal, if there's a world that they would take Reggie Jackson as a main part of a deal for DeMar DeRozan, I would do that, certainly. I would do that tomorrow. So, hey, I'm in. Let's talk DeMar DeRozan. But no, I'm not talking about Sekou Doumbouya and Luke Kennard and even Bruce Brown or unprotected first-round picks, all that kind of stuff. But if we're talking about something that could be more desirable for the Detroit Pistons to get an all-star player in the fold, yeah, let's talk. Let's talk for sure. But coming up, let's talk on the Google voicemail line. Let's talk what we're thankful for and talk Pistons tickets as well. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hi, this is Brandon from Lansing. I just called in to talk about how our guards are playing so far. So I was very impressed. I just finished watching the Hawks game, and I just want to say I'm very impressed with what I think would be our backcourt of the future. I really liked Bruce getting out there and at Trae Young right from the beginning. He said he was going to do it. You were right. He came out, and he defended him probably as good as anybody else could, like Patrick Beverley or other defensive-minded guards like that. I was really impressed with his demeanor and how he got out there. And he put up comparable stats, even better in the points department. He had 14, Trae had 9, keeping up on assists and had fewer turnovers. So I was really impressed with that. And another thing I wanted to point out was Luke Kennard. He only had 9 points, kind of a colder night shooting, but he also had 9 assists. Watching the game, those were like some very impressive assists. Like I saw a lot of good things out of him, whether it was a kick out to the corner to like Markieff, or it was a kick inside to Andre, or when I see him ball handling and passing, I really do get very excited because he can have these games where he's not shooting as well, but he can do other things. And maybe one of the other guards can pick up the slack like Bruce Brown. So I'm just very excited about this backcourt of the future. And I hope to see it come out one day in a couple of years, maybe if we rebuild, if we don't, I'd like to see them get a lot more minutes together starting. And I think that would be beneficial to the team overall. Thanks, Matt.
Brandon and Lansing, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to you. But, yeah, I completely agree. Backcourt of the future, Bruce Brown and Luke Kennard, would not be such a bad thing. They complement each other well in terms of the offensive and defensive abilities. Neither of them are pure point guards, but both of them are pick-and-roll players that could create. Obviously, Bruce Brown, when he doesn't have the ball in his hands as a standstill shooter, is not a good thing. And the Pistons kind of need to work around that. So I would like to see him with the ball in his hands as much as possible, especially given the fact that you want him on the court for his defensive prowess, like you talked about against Trae Young on Friday of last week. And thanks again for the call there. But that's not to say that you shouldn't be open to upgrades. You shouldn't be open to the fact that maybe Luke Kennard or Bruce Brown comes off the bench. You can upgrade in terms of players such as DeMar DeRozan or others out there, and I know he's not the perfect archetype for this Pistons team or this modern NBA, but yeah, it's a decent place to start, in my opinion, with Bruce Brown and Luke Kennard. Is it a great backcourt? No. Is it something that you is the strength of your team, Luke Kennard and Bruce Brown? No. But if Sekou Doumbouya develops into something, you want to possibly bring Andre Drummond back at a decent contract and build around him, or see what you can do with Blake Griffin going forward. Yeah, but I don't think if you have Luke Kennard and Bruce Brown as your starting backcourt next year, that's not so bad. That's a decent place to start for a team that obviously would need other very talented players around it for it to be good. But I wanted to pass along, the Pistons are offering no fees on tickets for the Black Friday stretch. They had sent out an email that maybe some of you guys got as well, advertising that there's no fees for even the premium games out there. And I thought it was funny. They listed as premium games, of course, the LA Lakers, the LA Clippers, and even the Houston Rockets. But my favorite part is the fourth premium game that they mentioned, the Golden State Warriors. I don't know if that's quite a premium game anymore, but we'll play along. But check that out if you're interested in getting out to Little Caesars Arena. If you're from, you know, in Michigan but outside of the Detroit metro area, or maybe if you're out of state and you've never been to Little Caesars Arena for a game, I would definitely check that out. If you have not yet, it's a great place, great arena, and the Pistons need your support, if you haven't noticed from some of the stands over these last few years. But the Pistons, like you guys, very thankful for a lot of things out there, and I wanted to thank the Eastern Conference most of all for keeping us alive and keeping us sane here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. As we mentioned, the Pistons only a half game out of the Eastern Conference playoffs right now, and they are battling with such teams like the Orlando Magic at 6-10, the Charlotte Hornets at 6-12, the Bulls at 6-12, the Wizards at 5-10, the Cavs at 5-12, the Hawks at 4-13, and the Knicks at 4-13. What a world that we're living in here with those guys going. One of those teams, Detroit included, is going to make the playoffs, at least one of those teams in the Eastern Conference. Brooklyn separating themselves from the pack a little bit at number 7, 2.5 games above all the crap that I just mentioned. And Indiana, even a game and a half ahead of Brooklyn right now in that 6th spot as well, trying to stay away from the stench of the rest of the Eastern Conference. My favorite stat about all these teams that I just talked about that are the Pistons are contending with in the Eastern Conference, let's start with Orlando, the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference right now. They are on a 3-game losing streak right now. And the Pistons are right below them at number 9. So below that, every single team in that I just mentioned are on a losing streak as well. Charlotte's lost 5 in a row. The Bulls have lost their last 1. The Washington Wizards have lost their last 2. Cavs are on a 1-game losing streak. Pistons will see them on Tuesday. The Atlanta Hawks have lost 7 in a row, and the New York Knicks have lost 3 in a row. What a time to be alive. What a time it is to be in the Eastern Conference, and the Pistons should be thankful for that too. But I hope you guys take some time to think about what you're thankful for, and I hope that the Locked On Pistons podcast is maybe one of those minor things you're thankful for, or maybe one of those major things you're thankful for as you go along with your daily routine here. And, of course, we hope to stay with you guys through December and all that too. But we'll drop an episode on Friday at some point, talk about the Hornets and look ahead to the Hornets again and the Spurs this coming weekend on Sunday as well at Little Caesars Arena. And maybe we'll see you guys out at some of those games too. But this is your boy Matt Shook, the host of Locked On Pistons podcast, saying happy Thanksgiving from me and mine to you and yours this holiday season. We will talk to you guys on Friday. Enjoy some time off, eat some turkey for me, and we'll talk to you guys on Friday.